Oh, that's right. 201 in the Motor City on Hump Day. And Mike's still out. He's back on Monday. I'm Jeff in from Mike. Rico's there. Kenny and David. And
Scoble's still here.
Yeah. Well, Tarek, I hear, is rooming with you.
Yeah.
You got a spare bedroom.
He's not helping moving. No.
Are they still moving Andrew Chafin? And by the way, like, are they now Mark Canha too? Like, Rico, I feel so bad for these guys. Like,
well, you know,
they got to move themselves, apparently.
Yeah, you know, pizza and beer, guys. Whoever wants to help me out, I'm here. I'm available.
Give me a call.
Hey, Jeff, you want to do it?
Yeah. I mean, listen, can you get an autograph too? A Chafin autograph? A Canha autograph? Pizza, beer? I'll help you move. I'll move that couch.
Oh, maybe Flaherty can get a Shohei.
Flaherty's happy, I gotta believe. Like, Jack Flaherty's gotta be ecstatic. He's from LA to begin with, and now he gets to go try to win a title, all while the Tigers are left to fold in the second half, which they will. I mean, it's already started. They got swept by the Guardians. They got no pitching. They got injuries. They're going to stink down the stretch, and that's fine. I think we're okay with dealing with this. Listen, we could talk about the prospects. We could talk about Scott Harris. There's all kinds of reports that his asking price was just way too high. Astronomical was the word. Brian Cashman talked today. Didn't mention anything about the medicals for Flaherty, but did say just couldn't match up with the Tigers, whatever that means.
See, this that... It's one of those things, Rieger, that you hope that maybe one day somebody writes a book, because you're never going to figure out what exactly happened. What was the asking price?
I think we know what happened. I think we know that Scott Harris had a ridiculous asking price. And listen, I don't blame him, but at some point you do have to relent just a little bit and take what you can not get, but take a pretty good offer. Like,
yeah,
there was all kinds of reports that apparently Scott Harris could have got the Toronto-Houston deal himself for Flaherty instead of Kikuchi, right? So and he decided not to.
You think he milked it a little bit too much?
Probably. And then he realized, it's 6 o'clock already on a Tuesday?
Tried to get a little too greedy. Was listening to 97.1, wanted to make Rieger some money, so he made the deal.
Oh, by the way, you got my 20?
I got your 20.
Yeah. Yesterday, 20. Rico and I made a bet. I said Flaherty would get moved. Rico said no. And about 5:57, it happened, which was beautiful.
I'm shocked you didn't take the $15.
I'm
shocked you didn't take the $15 buyout.
No, I was going to go down with the ship. And you know what? It felt good.
That is a degenerate gambler.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We digress.
On many things, including that. All right. So, listen, we can talk about Harris and if you're underwhelmed by the deal. And that's all good, and we'll bring it up, and I got the breakdown of all these prospects that he traded, obviously Flaherty for and Canha for and Chafin for. But what I think is way more interesting was what happened at the press conference yesterday. So Scott Harris talked yesterday.
You went. You were there in person.
Stoney was there. Will was there. A lot of Tigers brass were there. Every PR person the Tigers have was there too. And by the way, I kind of feel bad for Scott Harris because the room was 80 degrees. I'm not even kidding. It's like the air conditioning shuts off at like 5 o'clock. This was at 7 o'clock. Scott Harris was wearing his quarter zip. He was sweating. So if you watch video.
It's not climate control like the headquarters?
No. Okay. It's like Doug Karsh was in there like he does here, cranking up the temperature to 85 degrees. So if you watch the video, Scott Harris looks like he's sweating. And you're like, wow, he looks really uncomfortable.
Nervous.
In reality, it was just really freaking hot. So I'm sticking up for Harris in that regard.
Thank you for that. Because
yes.
It did look as if I don't want to do this press conference. I don't want to talk to these people, but go ahead.
No, I was sweating too. So we could talk about the prospects, but the big question is Tarek Skubal. We talked about him at length till we've all wanted to vomit for 2.5 months. So I want to play you two audio clips. Number one about Skubal, number two about Harris's message to the fans. And then I need to ask you a question, David and Kenny a question, and the fine listening people a question as well, because something does not jive. Here's the first question. Tarek Skubal, was he available? Did you think about trading him? And since you kept him, that means you got to win next season. He's only got 2 years of control.
That's a fair question.
That means you got to go all out in the offseason to give Detroit a winner. All right, so what do you take of that? Does that sound like a guy that is ready to push all his chips in for the offseason and give Detroit a winner next year? Does it?
No.
Okay.
It
so,
does not.
And
but
I
you know
agree
what? Maybe because I was one of the, what was it called? The Panic Platoon? I was a member of
Panic
that.
Panic Platoon, I
was one of the founding members.
Yes.
David, you're a future Major League Baseball coach. You coach your son's team. What do you think about this? Because I this to me sounds like more kicking of the can. This to me sounds like something that should anger the city of Detroit. This to me sounds like yet another team that is not trying to win. This sounds like, hey, accept mediocrity. I got your back. I'll give you something on the back end. That's what it seems like, because it doesn't seem like there's a sense of urgency. It does not seem like, yeah, we're going to be all in. We got a ton of money to spend. We're going out to get players. We're going to get some everyday position players to back up Scooble. So,
all right. So it doesn't sound like Scott is thinking next year is the year, which, by the way, is so infuriating because you should have traded Scooble. Instead, you're going to waste them. However, there's more.
No. Hold on. Yeah. And before we get to this, you just nailed it. Not only are you thinking about next year and not wait, you've wasted this year.
Yeah.
This man is on the verge of winning a Cy Young. Congratulations. You get the individual award, but what did your team get? Nothing.
Nothing.
So you wasted a year.
And we would have been fine with everything if we had some form of promise that in the offseason, you're going to go out and make a go for it. And here's the deal, real quick, Rico. Five different times yesterday, I counted, he was asked to give his timeline. He was asked, when is this team going to be competitive? Five times he refused to answer. But I got one more for you, okay? One more, then we got a big question. I asked him, what's your message to the fans? Because Stoney asked him about a timeline. Wojo asked him about a timeline. Will Birchfield said, you hope your buyers at this time next year. Harris wouldn't answer any of it. Right, so that's his message that we have. Thank you. Now, we were not in the world headquarters, by the way. We were at Comerica Park. They do not allow just anybody at the world headquarters, I don't think. And by the way, Scott Harris did not walk out with the pizza sphere. The spear. He did not.
Because he didn't hit a home run.
Yeah, well, that's a good
point. That's maybe only if he hit home runs. Okay?
That's only if you traded Scooble.
Right. If he hit a home run or if he had come with a deal for Flaherty, I would have been like, you know what? That's my cocky president right there. He's walking in there with the pizza stick. Yep. We're all about that. He could have put on some buffs. I don't care.
So 248-539-9797. Again, if you want to talk about how you think Scott Harris did at the deadline, we'd love to hear from you. However, I have a question, and I feel like I was one of the leaders on the trade Scooble train. Now that you realize that they're not going to try to win crazily next year, why the hell didn't you trade this guy? Why in God's name didn't you trade this guy? This to me is such an infuriating, almost, it's irresponsible.
Brother, it just amazes me. It's like, pick a tiger to hype up. Remember, it was all about Matt Vierling for a while.
Oh, yeah, for three days. Yeah.
Right, it was like, oh, well, look what Vierling's doing. Look what this guy did. You know, if this was a week ago, they would be like, hey, Javi Baez has really turned this thing around. He's hit three homer. It's like, God, it's whack-a-mole. You just, whatever tiger's hot, that's the one you're going to promote. But what you did not do, I don't think you gave the city of Detroit and Tigers fans hope.
No.
For next year.
No, and that's the thing. I don't understand why. Like, if you have every intention, it makes no sense. You got a good pitching staff. You were a 500 team for the majority of the first half. All you need is a couple tweaks here and there. Why wouldn't you try to do said tweaks instead of what? Worry about 2026 and 2027. Brother. If you are not going to go for it, and you're wasting Tarek Skubal, you should be fired. I think it's that simple. 248-539-9797. And I got more for you very quickly. And David and Kenny and Rico, do you got the chair ready?
Yeah.
You got the chair ready? Let's do the chair. Because guess who just hit a grand slam? Jackson effing Holiday. Good afternoon. 97 won the ticket. Yeah, that was Jackson Holliday. Grand slam for Baltimore the day after Scott Harris, many are saying, got played by other GMs and president of baseball operations. So he traded Flaherty, he traded Chafin, and he traded Canha. And we can go over the prospects. I swear we can. I don't even hate them all, to tell you the truth. I actually really like the catching prospect in the Flaherty deal. With that being said,
I like the shortstop.
Okay.
Because you got somebody who may be able to take the job next year. He's the closest to actually being with the big club. But go ahead.
Trey Sweeney, 24, hitting .255, 13 dongs, Rico, in AAA. Hell, bring him up right now. Bring him up tomorrow. I'd rather see Sweeney than Javi Baez. But anyway, so we're talking about Scott Harris, and the trades are one thing, and I'm not killing Scott for the trades. What I am really upset about is the fact that he kept Tarek Skubal, never thought about trading Tarek Skubal, and then when asked at his press conference yesterday about trying to win with Tarek Skubal next year because the clock is a ticking, Scott, he said no. He wouldn't answer it, but every answer he gave you no confidence that they're going to so-called go for the division next year or go for the postseason next year. So I ask you, why the hell didn't you trade Tarek Skubal? You would have got a lot for him. And if you're in a rebuild, because it seems like they're in a rebuild, and it seems like the timeline, without saying actually what it is, it's 2027. It's 2028. Why wouldn't you trade this guy and really supercharge your rebuild? See, when I really thought he was going to go for it next year, I was cool keeping Skubal. Now, it pisses me off, Rico.
It does. The only thing I will say positive, well, a couple positive things. He went out there and he actually made some trades, but they were just kind of meh trades. It was kind of like his off season where he brought in players. Yes, he went out there, he tried to improve the team, but it was nothing earth-shattering. Neither were these trades. Now, the other thing I will give Scott Harris credit for, he had a plan B. The fact that allegedly Flaherty had some medical issues that caused other teams to say no.
Yeah, with the Yankees potentially.
He was able to pivot to the Dodgers, whereas last year, he wasn't able to pivot.
You know what that's like, though? That's so crazy. We are giving him credit for being able to do normal president of baseball operation things.
Look.
That's like me saying, Rico, congratulations, so you've stayed out of jail. Like, hey, Jeff, congratulations. You graduated high school. Yeah, These are things you are supposed to do.
You paid the bills and the lights are on this month.
Exactly. Congratulations.
Hey, David, congratulations. You fed your kids.
Right. Congratulations. Your child has survived 2 years. Right. Like, come on.
But he was. He pivoted. So I'll give him credit for that. He was active. But, man, you were holding all of the cards. Everybody in baseball was looking at you. What are you going to do? And this is the haul that you brought back in. It is underwhelming. And then, once again, when pushed to, well, when does this team finally take off? When do you actually become contenders and winners? Because here's the other thing. For years, Rieger, and I know people will say, well, he wasn't here. But it was because of the money that you owed Miggy. And once Miggy's contract is gone, and that'll free up, and we'll have this money to spend, And it's almost like you're saving it for your IRA account. Like, what are you spending this money on? You're not trying to be competitive. You're not trying to bring in people who can help you win now. You just wasted a year of Skubal. Sounds like you're going to waste another year of Skubal. And for what? What's the end game?
It's unless, like, Scott, you trade him in the winter. But I don't think he will.
If you didn't trade him now.
I agree.
You're not trading him in the winter. Now, for everybody who says, "Why you guys always keep saying trade Skubal's safe?" He's safe because I think even next year he will not be as valuable as he was this year.
He might not be as good. We don't know. Nobody knows anything. By the way, the four prospects that Harris was able to get, they've now updated the Tigers' top 50 prospect list. Eric Silva's at number 25, Trey Sweeney, your guy, at number 24, Joseph Montalvo at number 20, and the catcher first baseman they got in the Flaherty deal is now the fifth best prospect in the Tigers organization. Take that for what you think it's worth. Let's go to Ian. You're on the ticket. What's going on, Ian? How are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Always a pleasure.
Good afternoon.
I was telling your call screener, I had one word for Scott Harris when he was talking to you and Wojo and those guys yesterday. nauseous. I mean, God dang, really? What are we doing here? And what are you presenting to the fans? Another year of mediocrity and another year of, hey, by the way, guys, no free agents are going to come here and play in Detroit. Why? Because they look around, they see the team, and they're like, why would I come here? It's going to be awful. And on top of it, you guys hit it right on the head. If you don't trade Scoble now, you're not trading him in the winter. And you should have traded him now because you would have got a pretty big haul. And again, Scott Harris dropped the ball. Either he pushed for too much or he didn't get enough for the deal and he should have pulled the trigger. And those trades he made yesterday, guys, those were just like, here you go. I decided to pay my electric bill on time for once in a while and here you go. Or I paid my cable bill or my phone bill.
And
those trades aren't earth-shattering at all.
No, very underwhelming. I mean, you made moves for the sake of making moves, but just underwhelming is how I came across with the end of the day. And yeah, this is, it almost, it makes you feel good that at least you have one GM in this town who's not afraid to say, I'm trying to win. I'm trying to win it all.
No, that's what I thought about yesterday. You're right.
I don't care. I mean, he hasn't said F them picks, but he might as well.
Yeah. Like,
he's all about, he's not afraid to say it. There's no dancing around it. He's owning it. He's doing a lot of things. Now, if they don't make it, it's a different disappointment. And the disappointment is because you didn't get the ultimate goal.
Oh, and by the way, he put himself on the line. So if you want to go after Brad Holmes, if he doesn't make the Super Bowl, feel free. He brought it upon himself. Scott Harris, meanwhile, is just like, I am doing everything possible to extend my runway. That's what this is.
Rieger, asking the other three general managers or presidents in this town, and it's like pulling teeth. Like, no one wants to commit and say, yes, well, you know, we got some stuff, and we're trying, and, you know, hang in there with us, and, hey, look at this guy. He's pretty good, right? And, hey, we added some new additions to the building. We got new seats coming. Hey, it's like, okay, but what about what fans just want to know?
New scoreboard, too.
New scoreboard.
Don't
new bathroom, new showers.
30 million.
Yeah. But, and we're going to upgrade the district soon. But when are we going to win? When are you going to see a title? When are you going to be competitive? That's what every fan, that's the question you want. You don't care about it. Your ballpark could be a dump if you are winning games. You don't care.
So I just get this ticket text and I want to read it to you, Rico, because I think people don't quite grasp maybe what we're saying, and then we'll get to the calls. It says, Rieger, are you mentally ill? After seeing what this guy got for Flaherty, did you really want this? I'm not going to say what he called him, to trade the biggest chip in baseball. Well, here's the problem. Whether you trust Scott Harris or don't, Tarek Skubal's leaving you in 2 years. He's not re-signing at age 30 in Detroit. He's leaving you regardless. So why wouldn't you put him out there and grab something massive? I refuse to believe that you couldn't get a huge call back. Here's the other thing. We're led to believe that Scott Harris, his asking prices were astronomical. They were too much. And that's why at the end of the day, he didn't maybe get as much as he wanted. You would have had every right in the world to ask for the world and the sun and the stars and Michigan State football for Tarek Skubal. And you probably would have got it.
Yeah. I just, you hit upon something. I don't have the trust. I said I was going to give him to this trade deadline. It's not there. Now, is he doing his job? He's doing his job, but it's just mediocre. I don't expect big things out of this person.
He's doing his job.
Okay.
While at the same time, he is making sure not to do anything to actually put him on the proverbial clock.
Right.
Like, his runway is endless. At what point is he going to make a move that we can actually judge the guy that's going to maybe benefit the baseball team? Like, I got to tell you, Rico, everybody has their certain breaking points, and I'm not saying fire Scott Harris, but if next year's offseason comes and goes, and it's very similar to this year's offseason, and you see a similar product next season, then what are we doing here? And why'd you keep that pitcher?
Rieger, it's underwhelming. It almost feels like he's the role player of presidents and GMs. He kind of does his job, but he's not a star. He's not somebody that you're going to brag about. He's like the Brandon Inge of baseball presidents. Just, he's okay. That's about it.
248-539-9797. A lot of people want to talk. A lot of people are fired up. We'll get to everybody. It's a post-Harris trade deadline therapy session. I think that's what we call it. Or you call it the Valenti and Rico Show. 97 won the ticket.
I like that one.
All righty, all righty. Usually David Hatchett Hall reads the ticket text. I just want to read one very quickly. It says, you got a guy that instantly becomes the number five prospect in your system and a shortstop, which we needed. That could be step in play today for a rental, essentially saying be happy, be grateful. And listen, I have not trashed Scott Harris for the dealings yesterday or at the trade deadline at all. I give him a lot of credit for Carson Kelly, actually, too. We're talking about moving forward. We're talking about building this organization, making it healthy, as he said his message to the fans was, and then at the same time trying to freaking win because you have a pitcher on your roster that is going to say goodbye to you that you could have traded for a freaking haul. And it's funny because Jackson Holliday was the name mentioned. He hit a grand slam today for Baltimore, his first major league home run. You think Elias, the GM at Baltimore, is going to be like, right now he's probably sitting in the GM box. He's like, oh yeah, you guys wanted me to trade that guy?
Yeah, I'm sitting in the world headquarters in Baltimore.
Anyway, you want to take some calls?
Let's take some calls, man. Right. People are fired up, and I, to me, I'm angry because once again, we're just served a poo-poo platter. Don't ask for expectations. Don't ask for winning. And people get angry at me, but this is why I always say, when it comes to the Tigers, come out to the ballpark, have a hot dog, a beer, a pop with your boys, with your family. Enjoy it. Who cares if you win or lose? Just have a good time.
That's the way Scott Harris was treating it yesterday. Like, he said everything but that. I was half expecting him to say, listen, we're not going to be very good in the next 3 years.
Go have a slice of pizza.
We got
have
these fun. New, like beer bongs. They're
right.
Pretty cool.
And people get angry.
Ferris wheel.
People get angry at me when I say that, but it's days like yesterday. That's why I feel that way, because it doesn't look like a team that's really serious about winning. They look like a team that just wants to entertain you and basically spin their wheels until a few more weeks when we care about the Lions.
I find
it funny.
And then
they fade into obscurity until spring training.
Then they get their pass. Nobody's going to talk about us.
They will find out that Javi Baez is in the best shape of his life.
Oh, yeah. Different sound of the ball coming off the bat there. Let's go to Brian. And a sell, you're on the ticket. What's going on, Brian?
Yeah, I got to congratulate Harris. Did a great job. Not caving in, not taking Baltimore's BS and all their garbage. Stay put, maintain focus, and go into next year with Scooble like you should. I'm very proud of that man. I was about to give up on this team and everything, and shows to me they're serious about winning.
Well, how do you see that, Brian? Let's just have a discussion.
Because I'm not going to take Mateo and Westberg and some pitcher named Irvin who got downgraded from a starter to being like a setup guy in the seventh inning. Nope. I'm good. I love it.
Brian,
I think it's the right thing to do.
Brian, I hear you. I hear you if you're going to win next year. Like, I totally agree with you. I'm in lockstep with you. We always have been, if you're going to win. But when I asked him the question, and when other people asked him the question about trying to win, doing different than he did this offseason, he didn't seem like he was going to do it. He essentially said, we're not doing anything without saying it. So, Brian, if you have a similar type team with Tarek Skubal next year, what's the point?
Yeah, he's not going to answer those questions. Just like Pat Mahomes isn't going to answer the Kermit the Frog questions about the Raiders antagonizing him.
No, but Brian.
These guys don't do any of that.
It's different. No, because here's the thing. Hold on, leave him up. Here's the thing, Brian. When you have winning teams, coaches, or players, they're not afraid of talking championships. They're not afraid about talking about winning. Now, yes, some stupid thing at a Raiders camp, yeah, I'm not going to give that the time of day.
But when asked the question,
when asked the question, you know, about this team and next year, you don't dance around it. That's when you embrace it and say, hey, we're about to do some big things. We're about to become competitive. We're about to do something. Instead, it's like, hey, look at these guys right here. I'm only worried about the month of August.
Rico, all Harris has to say is, I give him food and clothes.
Well played, Brian. Well played. Well played. So we got pranked the entire time. That's what that was, right? We got played. Kind of like Scott Harris might have got played.
Yeah.
He didn't agree with all that stuff he said.
But I really hope that he didn't believe what he just said.
I don't think
he did. Listening to that call.
Because he came back to Donald Sterling.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
But you know what? Hey, all I know is Mark Ryan, was he okay? Did we do a wellness check on him?
I have no idea. He'll be in at 6 with Woj today.
Okay.
I think he's okay.
But there are some people who feel like, well, we should stop trading our stars. And it's like, I agree with you. If your team is trying to win, you build around them. I don't see the building, and instead we're waiting on these young guys. They're not ready, okay? It's not to say that they won't be. It's not to say they can't become future all-stars. Heck, Hall of Famers. But right here, right now, they're not ready. I don't think they're going to be ready next season, which kind of tells me this is Groundhog's Day.
So why'd you keep Scooble?
What you saw last year, what you see this year, what you see next year. If I put an over-under for Tigers wins at 83.5, where are you going with it?
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. They're going to stink the remainder of the year, and we know they're going
to
stink.
Well, they still have stuff to do year, though.
I forgot. Scott Harris. You're right. But they're going to stink. They're going to fade into obscurity. And then what? Are they going to take this year and say, see, the work we have left to do? No. We know they have a good pitching staff. No. You know that guys have blossomed recently, including Colt Keith, maybe Jahan Malloy too, right? So there's no reason not to go out and make a run for the freaking division, or at least minimally the wild card. And that's all I'm saying. Let's go to Mike and Shelby. You're on the ticket. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Well, I'm going to be a lot like Brian. You guys would be complaining like crazy if he would have seen Scooble and we didn't get Holiday. You'd say, oh, he panicked. He freaked out. We didn't get what we wanted. If you haven't noticed, every team is hanging on to all their top prospects. Why? Because you get them for 6 years, you don't really have to pay them a ton. And with these contracts, 300, 400, 500 million, that's why. Nobody traded the top 100. So I don't have a problem not trading Scooble if you weren't going to get the return. I agree. He asked for a ton. He didn't get it. No deal.
Sure.
But if you look at the guys he traded, he got, I think, value for the three guys. One's a backup platoon catcher, one's a specialty left-handed pitcher, and one's a guy hitting .235. I thought he got some pretty decent return. As far as Flaherty's concerned, again, it's a shame his back flared up. It's a shame the Yankees said what they said. But he did get two guys that are pretty highly rated.
I don't disagree.
And again, and you can disagree, fine.
I don't. I know. I agree with what you're saying, Mike. I think you're spot on, but you're missing a part of the story. So you're happy they didn't trade Scooble, which I'm with you, right?
No, I would like to have traded Scooble, but only if you were going to get. I wanted five guys.
Okay,
I wanted
Holiday.
I wanted Mayo. I wanted Basell, and I wanted Pulvich and McDermott.
Basically,
and
you wanted to go with a shopping cart. Mike, if you wanted a shopping cart and you wanted to walk down the aisle of the Oreos and say, I want this, 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 and this. I'm with him on that. Mike, I think we actually agree. I didn't think so at first, but I think we do. Because I don't think you trust Harris. Like, I don't trust Harris to actually get the deal done.
It's not that I don't trust him. One thing I wish maybe they did this. We'll never know. But I would have made him an offer like, hey, I could almost guarantee the World Series by giving you Flaherty and Scooble, and I could even sweeten the pot with Chapin because they wanted a lefty pitcher. Give those three guys and give me those five guys. Now, I think if that happens, you guys would have said, this is great. We now have three guys that play. We have two new pitchers. But unfortunately, I just don't think the market was there because I would have been totally upset if they didn't get Holiday and gave up Scooble. And I think
Here's my question for you, and I understand that. You're right. You want to get the haul for trading Scooble. But my question to you is, okay, so they don't want to give up prospects. Why not trade Flaherty to Baltimore for Norby then? If they want to bring Jackson up, they don't want to give him up. Getting Norby sounds good to me for Flaherty. Why didn't that happen?
Well, they got two guys. One's a shortstop. Norby's the second
base.
That
shortstop is not going to do anything for this team.
Right, but
he won't be here until he's 25 next year.
Immediately our number.
Mikey, let me answer for you.
One at a time. One at a time. Go ahead.
Okay, honestly, he's considered a pretty good prospect. I mean, we have the number.
All righty. Usually David Hatchett Hall reads the ticket text. I just want to read one very quickly. It says, you got a guy that instantly becomes the number five prospect in your system and a shortstop, which we needed. That could be step in play today for a rental, essentially saying, be happy, be grateful. And listen, I have not trashed Scott Harris for the dealings yesterday or at the trade deadline at all. I give him a lot of credit for Carson Kelly, actually, too. We're talking about moving forward. We're talking about building this organization, making it healthy, as he said his message to the fans was, and then at the same time trying to freaking win because you have a pitcher on your roster that is going to say goodbye to you that you could have traded for a freaking haul. And it's funny because Jackson Holliday was the name mentioned. He hit a grand slam today for Baltimore, his first major league home run. You think Elias, the GM at Baltimore, is going to be like, right now he's probably sitting in the GM box. He's like, oh yeah, you guys wanted me to trade that guy?
Yeah, I'm sitting in the world headquarters in Baltimore.
Anyway, you want to take some calls?
Let's take some calls, all man. Right. People are fired up, and I, to me, I'm angry because once again, we're just served a poo-poo platter. Don't ask for expectations. Don't ask for winning. And people get angry at me, but this is why I always say, when it comes to the Tigers, come out to the ballpark, have a hot dog, a beer, a pop with your boys, with your family. Enjoy it. Who cares if you win or lose? Just have a good time.
That's the way Scott Harris was treating it yesterday. Like, he said everything but that. I was half expecting him to say, listen, we're not going to be very good in the next 3 years.
Go have a slice of pizza.
We got
have
these fun. New, like beer bongs. They're right. Pretty cool.
And but people
yeah,
get angry.
At, wheel.
People get angry at me when I say that, but it's days like yesterday. That's why I feel that way, because it doesn't look like a team that's really serious about winning. They look like a team that just wants to entertain you and basically spin their wheels until a few more weeks when we care about the Lions.
I find
it funny.
And then
they fade into obscurity until spring training.
Then they get their pass. Nobody's going to talk about
it.
They
will find out that Javi Baez is in the best shape of his life.
Oh, yeah. Different sound of the ball coming off the bat there. Let's go to Brian. On a sell, you're on the ticket. What's going on, Brian?
Yeah, I got to congratulate Harris. Did a great job. Not caving in, not taking Baltimore's BS and all their garbage. Stay put, maintain focus, and go into next year with Scooble like you should. I'm very proud of that man. I was about to give up on this team and everything, and shows to me they're serious about winning.
Well, how do you see that, Brian? Let's just have a discussion.
Because I'm not going to take Mateo and Westberg and some pitcher named Irvin who got downgraded from a starter to being like a setup guy in the seventh inning. Nope. I'm good. I love it.
Brian,
I think it's the right thing to do.
Brian, I hear you. I hear you if you're going to win next year. Like, I totally agree with you. I'm in lockstep with you. We always have been if you're going to win. But when I asked him the question, and when other people asked him the question about trying to win, doing different than he did this offseason, he didn't seem like he was going to do it. He essentially said, we're not doing anything without saying it. So, Brian, if you have a similar type team with Tarek Skubal next year, what's the point?
Yeah, he's not going to answer those questions. Just like Pat Mahomes isn't going to answer the Kermit the Frog questions about the Raiders antagonizing him.
No, but Brian.
These guys don't do any of that.
It's different. No, because here's the thing. Hold on, leave him up. Here's the thing, Brian. When you have winning teams, coaches, or players, they're not afraid of talking championships. They're not afraid about talking about winning. Now, yes, some stupid thing at a Raiders camp, yeah, I'm not going to give that the time of day.
But when asked the question,
when asked the question, you know, about this team and next year, you don't dance around it. That's when you embrace it and say, hey, we're about to do some big things. We're about to become competitive. We're about to do something. Instead, it's like, hey, look at these guys right here. I'm only worried about the month of August.
Rico, all Harris has to say is, I give him food and clothes. And
well played, Brian.
Good,
well played. Well played.
All right.
So we got pranked the entire time. That's what that was, right? We got played. Kind of like Scott Harris might have got played.
Nah.
He didn't agree with all that stuff he said.
But I really hope that he didn't believe what he just said.
I don't think he did.
I'm upset listening to that call.
Because he came
until
back to Donald Sterling.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
But you know what? Hey, All I know is, Mark Ryan, was he okay? Did we do a wellness check on him?
I have no idea. He'll be in at 6 with Woj today.
Okay.
I think he's okay.
But there are some people who feel like, well, we should stop trading our stars. And it's like, I agree with you. If your team is trying to win, you build around them. I don't see the building, and instead we're waiting on these young guys. They're not ready. Okay, it's not to say that they won't be. It's not to say they can't become future all-stars. Heck, Hall of Famers. But right here, right now, they're not ready. I don't think they're going to be ready next season, which kind of tells me this is Groundhog's Day.
So why did you keep Scooble?
What you saw last year, what you see this year, what you see next year. If I put an over-under for Tigers wins at 83.5, where are you going with it?
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. They're going to stink the remainder of the year, and we know they're going
to
stink.
Oh, they still have stuff to do this year, though.
I forgot. Scott Harris. You're right. You're right. But they're going to stink. They're going to fade into obscurity. And then what? Are they going to take this year and say, see, the work we have left to do? No. We know they have a good pitching staff. No. You know that guys have blossomed recently, including Colt Keith, maybe J.Hen Malloy too, right? So there's no reason not to go out and make a run for the freaking division, or at least minimally the wild card. And that's all I'm saying. Let's go to Mike and Shelby. You're on the ticket. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I'm going to be a lot like Brian. You guys would be complaining like crazy if you would have seen Scooble and we didn't get Holiday. You'd say, oh, he panicked, he freaked out, we didn't get what we wanted. If you haven't noticed, every team is hanging on to all their top prospects. Why? Because you get them for 6 years, you don't really have to pay them a ton. And with these contracts, 300, 400, 500 million, that's why. Nobody traded the top 100. So I don't have a problem not trading Scooble if you weren't going to get the return. I agree. He asked for a ton. He didn't get it. No deal.
Sure.
But if you look at the guys he traded, he got, I think, value for the three guys. One's a backup platoon catcher. One's a specialty left-handed pitcher. And one's a guy hitting .235. I thought he got some pretty decent return. As far as Flaherty's concerned, again, it's a shame his back flared up. It's a shame the Yankees said what they said. But he did get two guys that are pretty highly rated.
I don't disagree.
And again, and you can disagree, fine.
I agree with what you're saying, Mike. I think okay. You're spot on, but you're missing a part of the story. So you're happy they didn't trade Scooble, which I'm with you, right?
No, I would like to have traded Scooble, but only if you were going to get. I wanted five guys.
Okay,
I wanted
Holiday.
I wanted Mayo. I wanted Basell, and I wanted Pulvich and McDermott.
Basically,
and
you wanted to go with a shopping cart. Mike, if you wanted a shopping cart and you wanted to walk down the aisle of the Oreos and say, I want this, 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 and this. I'm with him on that. Mike, I think we actually agree. I didn't think so at first, but I think we do. Because I don't think you trust Harris. Like, I don't trust Harris to actually get the deal done.
Rico, it's not that I don't trust him. One thing I wish he, and maybe they did this, we'll never know. But I would have made him an offer like, hey, I can almost guarantee the World Series by giving you Flaherty and Scooble, and I could even sweeten the pot with Chapin because they wanted a lefty pitcher. Give those three guys and give me those five guys. Now, I think if that happens, you guys would have said, this is great. We now have three guys that play. We have two new pitchers. But unfortunately, I just don't think the market was there because I would have been totally upset if they didn't get Holiday and gave up Scooble. And I think
Here's my question for you, and I understand that. You're right. You want to get the haul for trading Scooble. But my question to you is, okay, so they don't want to give up prospects. Why not trade Flaherty to Baltimore for Norby then? If they want to bring Jackson up, they don't want to give him up. Getting Norby sounds good to me for Flaherty. Why didn't that happen?
Well, they got two guys. One's a shortstop. Norby's the second
baseman. That shortstop is not going to do anything for this team.
Right, but
he won't be here until he's 25 next year.
Mikey, let me answer for you.
One at a time. Go ahead.
Okay, honestly, he's considered a pretty good prospect. I mean, we have the number 4 farm system, and this guy shot up to number 5 on our list. So he can't be too bad. I mean, he can't be.
I mean, or why is he number five?
No, and Mike,
maybe
I agree.
Maybe our system isn't that good.
No, I agree. Well, both. You know what? This is one of those things that both like can be true.
Don't you guys hate when you hear this guy's a first baseman DH or he's a second baseman left fielder? That tells me they're not very good defensively.
Yes!
We got a ton of those guys. Norby, to me, would have been another second baseman left fielder. Yeah, I just personally, I wanted to trade. I would love to have seen those five guys. I would have done anything. And I really believe Baltimore, God, I'd love to know if this is true or not, but I really wonder if Baltimore was offered Flaherty and Scooble, and then they could come back and say, well, we had to give up Holiday, but we got Scooble right for the next 2.5 years.
But I just,
we got Chafin for this year, this next year, and Flaherty was obviously a rental player. But you put those three guys on that team, they got a really good chance of winning the World Series.
Mike, we appreciate the call. Listen, I don't think we're all that far off of agreeing or disagreeing with each other. I think we all want the same exact thing. Real quick, though, as far as the Norby trade for Rodgers with Miami, Rodgers is 2 years of control. Flaherty is a free agent, a rental.
You can go back.
And he's got
and
back issues. Yeah. So I'm not exactly sure that Baltimore wanted Flaherty again, even though there was that report saying that they would take him again. 248-539-9797, the ticket text, the exact same number. How you feeling about your Pobo? President of Baseball Operations. And
still trying to make this happen.
It's a thing. Pobo.
It's so not.
And why did you hang on to Tarek Skubal if you don't intend to try to win next year?
It feels like an episode of Mean Girls. It's never going to happen.
So I found an interesting thing here. I love stuff like this, but I want to get you all's guess. So CBS Sports put together a list. They ranked each division based on the quarterbacks. So they took each team in the division, their quarterbacks, and then they ranked them within the NFL. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to take your guess on which one you think is the best quarterback division in the NFL, and then I'll go through the list. Rico, what do you think is the best quarterback division in the NFL?
Huh. That's a great question, David. I'm trying to think. Is it the, well, I don't know if it's the NFC North. I'm going to go with the, ooh, they got Daniel Jones. Can't be the East. Okay. That's a great question. You know what? I'm going to go AFC East.
Your guess, Rico. I mean, Rieger.
So you're going to the AFC East. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen and Tua.
Tua.
That's
I'm
pretty
going
good.
Josh Allen and
that,
Tua.
That's
and,
pretty good.
Yeah.
I was thinking just AFC West because of Patrick Mahomes, but there's nobody else.
Right.
Right? So I am... Damn, this is a hard question.
It is.
I'm going to go NFC North. Jared Goff,
NFC
Caleb
North.
Williams, Jordan Love just got the big contract. Who doesn't love J.J. McCarthy? I'm going to go NFC North with the NFC West closely following with Stafford and Brock Purdy.
I didn't ask for your second choice.
Oh, I'm
so
sorry.
Let's go through this now. So number 8 is the NFC South. You probably agree with this. It would be Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, and Bryce Young. Derek Carr's fighting for his job. And Bryce
so
Young.
So is Bryce Young.
I mean, so that makes sense, right? That's number 8.
Yeah. Oh, that's why the Buccaneers get to win the division. I wish we were in a division like that.
Well, the Falcons think they can. That's why they got Kirk Cousins, but we'll see about that. Number 7. Jeff, you said you were going to guess this division. Glad you did not, because they are number 7. AFC West.
No, I said NFC West.
No, I'm saying you were going to
because of Mahomes. Yeah,
I got you.
Immediately,
yes,
but then you think Raiders
yes.
quarterback.
Yeah.
Broncos quarterback.
Yes.
Don't do it.
So you were thinking correctly, because you're right. It is Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, but Aiden O'Connell and Bo Nix bring them completely down in that division quarterback.
I've read good things about Bo Nix.
Wow. Sean Payton believes in Bo Nix, and wow. Pierce believes in Aiden O'Connell? No. That's not a good quarterback division. I'm surprised by this one being number 6, the AFC South, because you have C.J. Stroud, Trevor Lawrence, Will Levis, and Anthony Richardson.
Young.
Question marks there?
Yeah, you know what? Because they're all too young. Can Stroud do it 2 years in a row, or is he a flash in the pan? No, but Richardson got
he's
hurt
injury
after
prone,
like 3 games,
right.
Even
he's
so you don't know there. You know, Trevor Lawrence is, I guess, the hot name, but when you really look at it, I mean, him and Justin Herbert are like the Spider-Man meme. They're the same quarterback. A lot of hype, but what have you really done?
Where's the substance?
And I thought it was fitting they played each other in the playoffs. So, yeah, in Tennessee, yeah, okay.
Number five. Jeff, you guessed this one. You were wrong. They're not number one.
NFC North.
NFC North.
Well, crap.
Jordan Love, Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, and Caleb Williams. Those two right there.
Yeah.
Because he's a rookie, Caleb Williams, and Sam Darnold is Sam Darnold.
Yeah, because, you know, at first you were hearing that Sam Darnold is his job for the year, and then I saw something yesterday or this morning. It's like, well, JJ's going to, you know, he's really throwing darts out there. And I'm like, guys, that's 707 drills. This is already coming after him. Every quarterback looks great.
Except for Caleb Williams. He has not looked good in Chicago. But I hear you.
But no, I don't expect rookie. What C.J. Stroud did is he's a unicorn. It's an aberration. Rookie quarterbacks do not come into the league playing that well.
Yeah, you can think about the greats. Well, Peyton Manning didn't look good. John Elway didn't look good.
But let me explain myself since I had such a bad guess. I thought to myself, Jared Goff, no questions there, a top five quarterback, top seven quarterback in the NFL. And Jordan Love is the new hotness that just got paid after playing a year and a half of football. So I thought to myself, two really good quarterbacks, that's pretty good in a four-team conference.
But I think it's Sam Darnold and Caleb Williams is the
They bring it down. I blame them.
That's why.
Because I blame Minnesota and Chicago. Yes.
Yeah.
Awful cities.
Rico, you were thinking about this division. Glad you didn't go with it because the NFC East is fourth. Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, but Daniel Jones and Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Kind of bring that down.
Oh, Daniel Jones. I listen to the Daniel Jones hater every day, which was, nope, not doing it. And they signed that man to that big contract.
Was there ever a Giants quarterback that Mike actually liked?
No. He hates Eli. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm like, dude.
Sims.
Phil.
Yeah, Bill Sims back like 40 years ago?
Exactly.
Yeah, Eli
when won he was like two, an impressionable kid?
Eli won you two Super Bowls, Mike. Yeah, but he sucked in every other playoff game. Who
are all
cares?
Fans like New York from New York like Mike? Or is Mike just Mike?
You know what? I don't want to be stereotypical, but yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Number three on this list, division ranked by quarterbacks, NFC West.
Okay, so that was my
Purdy,
second guess.
Stafford, Geno Smith, which I forgot.
Kyler Murray. So you didn't allow me to, you know what? I should have went with that one. So Rico's still in play for the best.
He is still alive. Number two, the AFC East. That is the division you went with.
Wow.
Josh Allen, Rodgers, Tua, and Jacoby Brissett. That's the reason. Jacoby Brissett. Because he's the Patriots starter. Versus number one, the AFC North.
So you're talking about
Burrow,
Lamar,
Jackson, Watson, Wilson.
Oh. Yeah, but doesn't the Steelers situation bring you down?
Like, I think Wilson is higher than Brissett. So that's why they're better.
Watson?
Right, very unproven. Joe Burrow as injury-prone as it gets. He cut his hair, too.
You might as well put a barbecue fork in his back because he's done. I thought maybe it was rust. Oh, he'll come. Something happened.
I know something happened.
But in that year that he took off because of legal reasons, he digressed. He's horrible. So, yeah, when Cleveland started winning, it was winning with somebody they pulled off the street.
I think what's happening here, it's the strength of the top of the North, AFC North, of Burrow and Jackson is what's elevating
them. Balancing them out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you probably put a better quarterback in the AFC West with Mahomes,
correct. Like, it's like, just Mahomes.
Let's say it was Mahomes by himself. So what were they, seven with Mahomes by himself?
Yes.
So they weren't last. So I agree with you. See, I actually think Rico got screwed here because Josh Allen, I get it. His stock has fallen. But Tua just got the big contract, has been great. Aaron Rodgers is a former four-time MVP, right?
But so what is he now?
He's still a good quarterback,
You know what he is? He's where we all thought Deshaun Watson was going to be last year. Okay, he got injured, but he's going to come back. And you're going to see. you know, 80% of Rodgers is still better than 100% of other picks.
We could get the Watson and Rodgers this year saying, oh, he really isn't that great.
Right. I think this is that make or break year for Rodgers, where we're going to look at the Jets the way we look at the Browns and say, man, you got hoodwinked.
Right, because we now know what Watson is.
Right.
He's trash.
And his deal is ridiculous, and they can't cut him. I mean,
that's why
kudos
I laughed
to his agent.
I laughed at him when you said he's done. Not really. I mean, he's done on the field, but he's there on the field.
He's very Javi Baez-esque. Yes, he's getting his money regardless.
Dude, unless they're going to Bobby Bonilla him and just come out with something. We're going to pay you until 2075.
They've been forced to play without him for the last 2 years anyway because of injuries. So, all right, that was a great list, by the way. That was sensational. That's my favorite blitz filling in on this show ever. That was really good.
David Brinks.
Nicely done. Rico, I think he got screwed and I sucked. 97 won the ticket.
So I found an interesting thing here. I love stuff like this, but I want to get you all's guess. So CBS Sports put together a list. They ranked each division based on the quarterbacks. So they took each team in the division, their quarterbacks, and then they ranked them within the NFL. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to take your guess on which one you think is the best quarterback division in the NFL, and then I'll go through the list. Rico, what do you think is the best quarterback division in the NFL?
Huh. That's a great question, David. I'm trying to think. Is it the, I don't know if it's the NFC North. I'm going to go with they got Daniel Jones. Can't be the East. Okay. That's a great question. You know what? I'm going to go AFC East.
Your guess, Rico. Rieger.
So you're going the AFC East. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen and Tua.
Josh Allen and Tua.
That's pretty good. Yeah. I was thinking just AFC West because of Patrick Mahomes, but there's nobody else.
Right.
Right? So I am... Damn, this is a hard question.
It is.
I'm going to go NFC North. Jared Goff.
NFC North.
Caleb Williams. Jordan Love just got the big contract. Who doesn't love J.J. McCarthy? I'm going to go NFC North with the NFC West closely following with Stafford and Brock Purdy.
I didn't ask for your second choice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So let's go through this now. So number 8 is the NFC South. You probably agree with this. It would be Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, and Bryce Young. Derek Carr's fighting for his job. And Bryce Young.
So is Bryce Young.
So that makes sense, right? That's number 8.
Yeah. Oh, that's why the Buccaneers get to win the division. I wish we were in a division like that.
Well, the Falcons think they can. That's why they got Kirk Cousins, but we'll see about that. Number 7. Jeff, you said you were going to guess this division. Glad you did not, because they are number 7. AFC West.
No, I said NFC West.
No, I'm saying you were going to
because of Mahomes. Immediately, but then you think Raiders quarterback, Broncos quarterback.
Yes.
Don't do it.
So you were thinking correctly, because you're right. It is Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert. But Aiden O'Connell and Bo Nix bring them completely down in that division.
I've read good things about Bo Nix.
While Sean Payton believes in Bo Nix, and while Pierce believes in Aiden O'Connell, no. Mm-mm. That's not a good quarterback division. I'm surprised by this one being number 6, the AFC South, because you have C.J. Stroud, Trevor Lawrence, Will Levis, and Anthony Richardson. Question marks there?
Yeah, you know what? Because they're all too young. Can Stroud do it 2 years in a row, or is he a flash in the pan? No, but Richardson got
he's
hurt
injury
after
prone,
like three
right.
games,
even
so you don't know there. You know, Trevor Lawrence is, I guess, the hot name, but when you really look at it, I mean, him and Justin Herbert are like the Spider-Man meme. They're the same quarterback. A lot of hype, but what have you really done?
Where's the substance?
And I thought it was fitting they played each other in the playoffs. So... yeah, and Tennessee, okay.
Number 5. Jeff, you guessed this one. You were wrong. They're not number 1.
NFC North.
NFC North.
Well, crap.
Jordan Love, Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, and Caleb Williams. Those two right there.
Yeah.
Because he's a rookie, Caleb Williams, and Sam Darnold is Sam Darnold.
Yeah, because, you know, at first you were hearing that Sam Darnold is his job for the year, and then I saw something yesterday or this morning. It's like, well, JJ's going to, you know, he's really throwing darts out there. And I'm like, guys, that's 707 drills. This is already coming after him. Every quarterback looks great.
Except for Caleb Williams. He has not looked good in Chicago. But I hear you.
But no, I don't expect rookie. What C.J. Stroud did is he's a unicorn. It's an aberration. Rookie quarterbacks do not come into the league playing that well.
Yeah, you can think about the greats. Well, Peyton Manning didn't look good. John Elway didn't look good.
But let me explain myself since I had such a bad guess. I thought to myself, Jared Goff, no questions there. A top five quarterback, top seven quarterback in the NFL. And Jordan Love is the new hotness that just got paid after playing a year and a half of football. So I thought to myself, two really good quarterbacks, that's pretty good in a four-team conference.
But I think it's Sam Darnold and Caleb Williams is the
They bring it down. I blame them.
That's why.
Because I blame Minnesota and Chicago. Yes.
Yeah.
Awful cities.
Rico, you were thinking about this division. Glad you didn't go with it because the NFC East is fourth. Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, but Daniel Jones and Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Kind of bring that down.
Oh, Daniel Jones. I listen to the Daniel Jones hater every day, which is nope, not doing it. And they signed that man to that big contract.
Was there ever a Giants quarterback that Mike actually liked?
No. He hates Eli. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm like, dude.
Sims.
Phil.
Yeah, Bill like, Sims back like 40 years ago?
Exactly.
Yeah, Eli
when he was like an impressionable kid?
Eli won you two Super Bowls, Mike. Yeah, but he sucked in every other playoff game. Who
are all
cares?
Fans like New York from New York like Mike? Or is Mike just Mike?
You know what? I don't want to be stereotypical, but yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Number three on this list, division ranked by quarterbacks, NFC West.
Okay, so that was my
Purdy,
second guess.
Stafford, Geno Smith, which I forgot.
Kyler Murray. So you didn't allow me to, you know what? I should have went with that one. So Rico's still in play for the best.
He is still alive. Number two, the AFC East. That is the division you went with.
Wow.
Josh Allen, Rodgers, Tua, and Jacoby Brissett. That's the reason. Jacoby Brissett. Because he's the Patriots starter. Versus number one, the AFC North.
So you're talking about
Burrow,
Lamar,
Jackson, Watson, and Wilson.
Oh. Yeah, but doesn't the Steelers situation bring you down?
Like, I think Wilson is higher than Brissett. So that's why they're better.
Watson?
Right. Very unproven. Joe Burrow about as injury-prone as it gets. He cut his hair, too.
You might as well put a barbecue fork in his back because he's done. Sir, I thought maybe it was Rust. Oh, he'll come. Something happened.
I know something happened.
But in that year that he took off because of legal reasons, he digressed. He's horrible. So, yeah, when Cleveland started winning, it was winning with somebody they pulled off the street.
I think what's happening here, it's the strength of the top of the North, AFC North, right, of Burrow and Jackson is what's elevating
them. Balance them out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you probably put a better quarterback in the AFC West with Mahomes.
Correct. Like, it's like, just Mahomes.
Mahomes by himself. So what were they, seven with Mahomes by himself?
Yes.
So they weren't last. So I agree with you. See, I actually think Rico got screwed here because Josh Allen, I get it. His stock has fallen. But Tua just got the big contract, has been great. Aaron Rodgers is a former four-time MVP, right?
But so what is he now?
He's still a good quarterback, I think.
You know what he is? He's where we all thought Deshaun Watson was going to be last year. Okay, he got injured, but he's going to come back. And you're going to see, 80% of Rodgers is still better than 100% of other picks.
We could get the Watson and Rodgers this year saying, he really isn't that great.
Right. I think this is that make or break year for Rodgers where we're going to look at the Jets the way we look at the Browns and say, man, you got hoodwinked.
Right, because we now know what Watson is.
Right.
He's trash.
And his deal is ridiculous, and they can't cut him. I mean,
that's why
kudos
I laughed
to
at
his agent.
I laughed at him when you said he's done. Not really. I mean, he's done on the field, but he's there on the field.
He's very Javi Baez-esque.
Yes,
he's getting his money regardless.
Dude, unless they're going to Bobby Bonilla him and just come out with something. We're going to pay you until 2075.
They've been forced to play without him for the last 2 years anyway because of injuries. So, all right, that was a great list, by the way. That was sensational. That's my favorite blitz filling in on this show ever. That was really good.
David Brinks.
Nicely done. Rico, I think he got screwed and I sucked. 97 won the ticket.